Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour, reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. What began as a fight in the city of Jackson escalated to four people being hospitalized with gunshot wounds, according to authorities. WKHM's Luke Moorhead has the story.
Four people were shot on Saturday afternoon on the 300 block of West Biddle Street in a shooting incident that is under investigation by the Jackson Police Department. At around 3:40 p.m. on that day, officers from the JPD were dispatched to the area for a fight that resulted in the shooting. A 21-year-old man suffered two gunshot wounds to his chest and one in his arm. Officials say he's in stable condition. A 28-year-old man suffered a gunshot wound to his face and one to his arm. Officials say he is also in stable condition. A 25-year-old woman suffered a gunshot wound to the pelvis area and was sent to critical surgery. And a 23-year-old woman suffered a gunshot wound to the arm and is in stable condition. The investigation into the incident is ongoing, and anyone with more information pertaining to the incident is asked to contact Detective Mike Klimmer at 517-768-8752 or email mclimmer@cityofjackson.org. Reporting with WKHM, I'm Luke Moorhead.
An off-duty officer with the Albion Department of Public Safety has been arrested on charges of operating while intoxicated and possessing a firearm while under the influence. The arrest happened about 2 o'clock Saturday morning near North Superior and East Pine Streets in Albion during a traffic stop. Police say the officer was suspected of being under the influence of alcohol, and the investigation was turned over to the Calhoun County Sheriff's Office. The officer has been placed on administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation. Albion public safety officials say the department remains committed to transparency and accountability to the community. Could President Trump's visit to China this week lay the groundwork for a Chinese-owned auto plant in the U.S.? Auto B reporter Jeff Gilbert.
The idea of new jobs and lower-cost Chinese vehicles made in America could be appealing, but Scott Paul, who heads the Alliance for American Manufacturing, says many in Congress and his own administration have lobbied President Trump, saying the risks aren't worth it.
I hope that he understands that Chinese investment is categorically different than investment from Mexico, Canada, Europe, Japan, Korea, other countries that we would consider trade partners and allies.
U.S. carmakers have raised concerns about the subsidies that Chinese carmakers receive from their government and the impact it could have on jobs at American manufacturers. Jeff Gilbert, the Michigan News Network.
Area Congressman Tim Walberg held a live town hall in Leoni Township last week, and he talked about the experience on his latest appearance on AM Jackson.
It was a fun experience to meet with your constituents, some who weren't my constituents, who were brought in by the Democrat Party, but that's okay. They had a chance to hear the truth, too, as I say. Only in a few, I think a couple instances did it get a little boisterous, but that stopped quickly, and we went on with it. Well, you know, we can cover more ears in our teletown halls, but to be there with live people in the room, hearing from each other those thought processes, I think is important to our republic and its continuation.
One of the topics that Walberg says was discussed was the war and ongoing negotiations with Iran, with the congressman giving his thoughts on the current situation.
And I think what's going on in the war, truly, we have won that war, if you call it a war. It's a mop-up experience going on in an area of the world where they have to save face. And so even when they, I think, know that they have lost and they don't have any means by which really to move much further, they're going to talk as if they do. But that negotiation going on behind the scenes is far different than what you hear in the verbiage that comes out from whoever the Iranian leaders are at a moment in time when the news media talks to whoever they are.
There was also the topic of the economy at the town hall, which Congressman Walberg described as strong, but with some challenges, such as the agriculture industry.
In some of that economy, our agricultural industry with the tariffs are a challenge to them, with the worker situation and getting the necessary workforce to the work site, which is the farm or the milking parlor, or out in the field to plant or to harvest ultimately, especially crops with the fruit and vegetables, is a unique experience. And the wage differential between, for instance, Mexico and the United States is a challenge. We don't have slave labor. We shouldn't. But there has to also be an understanding that the industry can only bear so much.
More from Congressman Tim Walberg. It can be heard on the May 8th episode of the AM Jackson podcast, available on our website, WKHM.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. During her most recent AM Jackson appearance, State Representative Kathy Schmaltz discussed legislation she's working on that would provide a tax credit for family caregivers to help cover out-of-pocket costs. Representative Schmaltz talked about why she felt this is worth pursuing.
So many people taking care of loved ones. I'm sure you know people, I know people, and we need to do something to help them out. My bill would provide a tax credit for family caregivers. So more than 1.6 million family caregivers are in Michigan right now. And these are people with families of their own jobs, other responsibilities. They're also taking care of elderly parents or another family member who needs help. Many have to cut work hours, spend their own money to care for their loved ones. That can really take a toll financially, physically, and mentally.
Representative Schmaltz also dove into some of the numbers of the proposed legislation.
My bill would allow eligible family caregivers to claim a tax credit equal to 30% of qualified expenses or $2,000, whichever is less. We're talking about things like home improvements, like ramps, medical equipment, respite care, transportation, anything related to care like that. Family caregivers spend an average of $7,000 a year on these expenses. That's a lot. And they're taking care of their family, so this bill would just help them out financially.
Other legislation is starting to move through the House that Representative Schmaltz says hopes to save Michigan homeowners some money by eliminating certain state property taxes.
We're just starting now on working with the property taxes. We have said in the House we want to cut property taxes for everybody. So that's our focus right now. We would save, our plan right now would save someone about $900 a year if they have a house valued at about $300,000. It also eliminates the real estate transfer tax. That's a tax when a property's title is transferred to a new owner. You shouldn't be penalized for buying or selling your home. So we're looking at taxes there. We're also working on lowering utility payments, gas and electric. We're working on a rollback there. You know, when utilities get tax relief, that should be passed on to customers.
Again, our full conversation with State Representative Kathy Schmaltz can be heard at the May 8th episode of the AM Jackson podcast. This past weekend, the Napoleon Township Police Department announced that they conducted tobacco compliance checks at every store in the township to make sure that stores would not let minors buy tobacco products. The department said that they're proud to share that every business in Napoleon checked for identification and refused to sell tobacco to a minor. Officials say that for the past 3 years of conducting compliance checks on behalf of the state of Michigan, not a single store in Napoleon Township has been cited for selling tobacco or alcohol to minors, speaking to the consistency and professionalism of the local businesses and their employees. The NTPD thanked the township's local businesses for helping keep our community's kids safe. Electric vehicles have become a real bargain if you live in Canada.
The new incentives, most of which aren't available in the U.S., are coming in advance of the arrival of low-cost Chinese-made EVs in Canada. Automotive News says the incentives run in the $11,000 to $13,000 range, and Canada still has a federal tax rebate for buyers of electric vehicles of about $5,000. By the way, the Chinese-made vehicles will not be eligible for that rebate. Jeff Gilbert for the Michigan News Network.
While higher gas prices only have Americans looking at electric vehicles, it's a different story in Europe.
Now, gas prices were much higher in Europe to begin with, and the war has pushed them up nearly 20%. Automotive News says that's increased EV sales in Europe 43% in March and 37% in April. A new breakdown says in Europe, home charging costs 53% less on average than a fill-up with gasoline. Meanwhile, a European company that operates public chargers reports a 52% increase in its revenues. Jeff Gilbert for the Michigan News Network.
A reminder for drivers in Jackson, prepare for a major road closure beginning this morning. The city of Jackson says South Elm Avenue between Michigan Ave and Page Ave will close to all traffic starting at 7 a.m. Monday for construction work. Crews will be connecting a new water main on Joy Avenue to the city's water distribution system. City officials say the closure is expected to last about 3 weeks. Detour signs will direct drivers around the area using Page Avenue. Motorists are encouraged to allow extra travel time and avoid the area if possible. Claims arose last week of fraudulent signatures for some of Michigan's Republican candidates for governor. Michigan News Network's Charlie Langton reports.
John James and Perry Johnson's campaign, they are being scrutinized for bad signatures to qualify for the primary ballot here. In order to get on the primary ballot for governor, a candidate needs to submit 15,000 signatures, valid signatures. And now the two campaigns are being challenged. Citizens have filed alleging both Republican candidate John James and Perry Johnson have submitted fraudulent signatures. The Michigan Bureau of Elections, they received the letters. They're going to make a finding, and then ultimately the Board of Canvassers will make a decision as to whether John James and Barry Johnson have enough of the valid signatures to be on the ballot. Both campaigns, they said they've submitted the proper amount of valid signatures.
Charlie Langton, Michigan News Network.
The U.S. State Department will begin revoking the passports of thousands of parents who owe a significant amount of unpaid child support. One prosecutor applauds the move.
The effort is initially focused on those who owe $100,000 or more, with figures showing that would apply to about 2,700 American passport holders. But the revocation program soon will be greatly expanded to cover parents who owe more than $2,500 in unpaid support. Macomb County Prosecutor Pete Lucido is all for it.
If people are escaping, like going to another country or going to another state, what type of person is that that would do that to a child? And on top of it, the law is the law.
Pat Vitale for the Michigan News Network.
Water woes in northern Oakland County after a 42-inch water transmission line ruptured early yesterday morning. Orion Township is expected to not have any water after its water tower was drained following the break. Supervisor Chris Barnett says assisted living centers and nursing homes were evacuated yesterday and businesses will be closed.
I promise you residents, it's going to be very uncomfortable. And that's not to make you feel bad, but we need to get in the mindset, and we are resilient. We will be. But that's the situation we're staring at exactly right now.
Great Lakes Water Authority CEO Sue Coffey says it could be 2 weeks until full water pressure is restored, despite the fact that the bad part of the transmission line will be replaced later today. Residents in Orion Township, Lake Orion, Rochester Hills, Auburn Hills, and Pontiac are asked to not use any water unless absolutely necessary. Midwives are becoming more popular when it comes to women's health care, labor, and delivery. Corewell Health Certified Nurse Midwife Renee Sokolowski says there are a lot of misconceptions about what they do.
We are advanced practice nurses who specialize in women's health and pregnancy care. We are trained to care for women throughout their entire lifespan, from adolescence to pregnancy, postpartum, and even into menopause.
She says they can help with labor and delivery and women's health.
We can manage you entirely with physician backup as needed, of course, as long as you stay low risk. There are limits to our scope of practice. We are well aware of our limits to the scope of our practice.
Sokolowski says if someone has a high-risk pregnancy, then they would work with a doctor. Women are at the center of the Alzheimer's crisis.
Of the more than 6 million people with Alzheimer's over the age of 65, nearly 4 million of them are women. Attorney Danielle Mayores specializes in elder law at her practice in Troy and says Alzheimer's hits women harder.
We're not only more likely to be diagnosed with the disease, but we're also more likely to serve in the role as a caregiver for someone who has the disease. And as we know, when we're a caregiver, it really takes a toll. In fact, 66% of caregivers have chronic health issues.
Which is why she says women need to support others going through this. And there's a charity event called Women Conquer Alzheimer's. It benefits the Alzheimer's Association. A ticketed event happens this Thursday at the Knollwood Country Club in West Bloomfield, where Mayores will be the MC. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Google may owe you some money.
The final settlement over $700 million has been secured in a suit brought by 53 attorney generals, including here in Michigan, over how Google handled their Play Store. They say the tech giant illegally dominated Android app distribution and in-app purchases. And they say a refund will go directly to the people who made those purchases on Google Play between August 2016 and 2023. It'll be sent through PayPal or Venmo, and if you don't have that, you'll have to file manually. There's no time frame to when those payments will be sent out. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Researchers at Michigan State University say trees and green spaces may improve health, but not for everyone.
The national study questioned more than 40,000 adults and found people living in areas with greater tree coverage show lower levels of chronic stress. However, researchers found those benefits were most apparent among wealthier and more advantaged groups, while disadvantaged communities and many non-Hispanic Black respondents to the survey didn't show the same results. The findings suggest urban greenery alone may not be enough to overcome wider issues such as discrimination and poverty. Jeremy Jenkins, Michigan News Network.
It's an end of an era in Michigan conservation.
The Michigan United Conservation Club, a nonprofit organization, is dissolving after nearly 90 years of service. They were a voice for hunters, anglers, and outdoor enthusiasts. The notice was sent by the board of directors after they voted for an orderly dissolution, saying it was the most responsible course of action since the group had questions about its future funding. They expect to be fully closed by mid-June. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
And finally this morning, this was opening weekend for Cedar Point, which kicked off their 157th season this year. The Corkscrew coaster, turning 50 years old when it debuted in 1976. It was the world's first triple looping roller coaster and the first to span a midway above park guests. Meanwhile, Cedar Point says its regional gold pass now includes access to several amusement parks across the Midwest and Canada, including Kings Island and Canada's Wonderland. It's Monday, the 11th day of May, and today we celebrate Eat What You Want Day. It's Hostess Cupcake Day, National Twilight Zone Day, and World Ego Awareness Day. It was on this date in 1858, Minnesota was admitted as the 32nd state. It was on this date in 1927, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences was founded. It was on this date in 2001, U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft announced his decision to approve a 30-day delay of the execution of convicted Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh. It was on this date in 2009 that Mark Landon, son of Little House on the Prairie star Michael Landon, was found dead in his West Hollywood, California home at the age of 60. It was on this date in 2012, Jennifer Hudson's former brother-in-law, William Balfour, was found guilty of murdering Hudson's mother, brother, and nephew. It was on this date in 2020, Jerry Stiller died of natural causes at the age of 92. And it was on this date in 2021, the first major U.S. offshore wind farm off the coast of Massachusetts was approved by the Biden administration. Birthdays today include Madison Lintz is 27, actress from The Walking Dead. Austin O'Brien, 45, actor, The Last Action Hero. Kobe Bell from Third Watch, 51 today. Jeffrey Donovan from Burn Notice is 58 today. Tim Blake Nelson, 62, from Lincoln, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Boyd Gaines, one day at a time, 73 today. Frances Fisher, actress from Titanic, 74 today. Pam Ferris, a 78, actress from Matilda, Harry Potter, and The Prisoner of Azkaban. Natasha Richardson from The Parent Trap would have had a birthday today. Passed away in 2009. Other birthdays today, Sabrina Carpenter is 27, singer and actress. She did Espresso and Please, Please, Please. Howard Lawrence, musician from Disclosure, is 32 today. Ace Hood, 38. Mark Herndon is 71, drummer from Alabama. And Eric Burden is 85 today, from the animals and from war.
Came a lady, she whispered in my ear something crazy. She said, hot flames of fire roar.
For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly.
In her hand was a bottle of wine, in the other a glass. She poured some of the wine from the bottle into the glass and raised it to her lips. And just before she drank it, she said, take the wine, take that girl, the wine, take that girl, the wine, take that girl, come on, come on, the wine, take that girl.
Yeah. I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
How about those Tigers? They ended up getting a win. I know. They've been hard to come by lately, but Tigers have certainly have been dinged up. They salvaged a win in their series against the Royals, 6-3 victory last night, stamping a five-game losing streak. Detroit took an early 3-0 lead in the game thanks to an RBI triple from Hi-Yu Lee and a two-run double from Matt Vierling. You know what? We've got highlights. Here is Lee's RBI triple. Gets the Tigers up 1-0.
The 2-1. Fly ball to right field. Caglione racing back, looking into the sun, and that ball is over his head, off the wall. Perez around third is being waved home. Lee heading to third, and he is going to make it easily ahead of the throw. Hi-Yu Lee with a two-out triple. Tigers take a 1-0 lead in the second.
And then Vierling gets that two-run double. Tigers up early in the contest, 3-0.
The 1-1. Swinging a high fly ball, left center field. This one's deep, going back. Collins and Isbell, and that ball is off the wall. One run is in. Zach Short being waved around third. He will score. Vierling on his way to the third as the Kansas City outfield has trouble getting the ball in. Two out, two-run double. 3-0 Tigers here in the second inning.
And then a little bit later on in the third, Pasquantino from Kansas City, we get an RBI single, gets the Royals on the board, and then a sack fly also in the third from Jensen makes it a 3-2 contest. So already Kansas City threatening, and then they tie it up in the fourth off a Garcia RBI single. But then Workman. Oh, no, wait, this is Perez. Perez gets an RBI. There it is. Workman. Sorry, got a little out of order here. Workman gets his first career dinger in the sixth. And then the Tigers are up 5-3.
The 1-1. Fly ball to right field. This one's deep. Hooking by the foul pole. Will it stay fair? It's gone. A home run. How about it? Gage Workman, first career home run. Is a two-run shot to give the Tigers a 5-3 lead in the sixth.
And then Perez gets an RBI single in the seventh. Tigers are up 6-3.
2-1 ground ball and a base hit into center field. Green around third coming home. Up with the ball, Isbell. Throw comes all the way through, not nearly in time. Wenzel Perez down to second. RBI single. Tigers take a 6-3 lead.
When was the last time you heard us say some decent bullpen pitching? Yesterday, and that's what the Tigers had. Kept the balls down and able to turn a 5-4-3 double play on Witt Jr. in the seventh.
2-1. Bobby Witt Jr. waiting the strike one. Swinging a ground ball to third base. Gage Workman down to second one. Relay to first. They turn the double play. Zach McKinstry on the turn after a great feed from Gage Workman. You double up the fastest player in the game with a 5-4-3 perfectly executed turn.
And then another double play of the 4-6-3 variety in the eighth.
Swinging a ground ball softly to second base. McKinstry, backhand flip to McGonagall. Relay to first. They got him! 4-6-3.
And then here's the final call. Tigers win.
Jansen ready. The 3-2. Swing and a miss. Got him! Tigers win. Gage Workman. First at bat as a Tiger is a home run. That breaks a 3-3 tie. And on a bullpen day, the bullpen does the job with 9 brilliant innings of work. Our final score, Tigers take the finale in Kansas City with a 6-3 win.
Elsewhere from Major League Baseball, it was the Braves topping the Dodgers 7-2. Padres squeaked by the Cardinals 3-2 yesterday. Giants over the Pirates 7-6. Diamondbacks got a win over the New York Baseball Metropolitans 5-1. Rangers shutting out the Cubbies 3-0. Braves over the Stankies 4-3. It was the Twins topping the Guardians 5-4. White Sox over the Mariners 2-1. Also yesterday, Reds shutting out the Astros 5-0. Angels beating the Blue Jays 6-1. It was the Rays on top of the Red Sox 4-1. The BOs beating the Athletics 2-1. Phillies topping the Rockies, shutting them out 6-0. And the Marlins beating the Natties 5-2 for that final. In the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs from yesterday, the Mighty Ducks topping the Golden Knights 4-3. So that series tied up at 2 games apiece. Yesterday, the Canadiens beat the Sabres 6-2. So Montreal leads that series 2-1. Today in the NHL, you've got the Avs at the Wild, 8 o'clock face off there. So Colorado leading that series 2-1. On to the NBA. Postseason play in the NBA yesterday, it was the Timberwolves topping the Spurs. So that series tied up at 2 games apiece, 114-109. Knicks swept the 76ers, 144-115 yesterday. So the Knicks advance. Today you've got the Pistons at the Cavs. That is an 8 o'clock tip time, 7:34 for the broadcast here. Down the hall to the left on Fox Sports 101.9 FM. So the experts who put together the sports books, they say that the Cavs by 3.5. On this one, Pistons are 28-13 when they're on the road. Cavs are 27-14 when they're home. Matchup predictor 56.1% in favor of the Detroit Basketball Pistons. Other contest today has the Thunder at the Lakers. OKC leads that series 3-0 right now. Elsewhere from high school sports, and the 8th-ranked Parma Western girls tennis team, they traveled to Portland for the Portland Quad. The Panthers won 20 of 24 matches and came away with a quad championship. They defeated Portland 7-1. They defeated Midland 8-0. And number 3 in Division 4, Traverse City St. Francis 5-3. Undefeated flight champions were one doubles, Becca Brueschaber and Sophia Nguyen. Two doubles, Anna Wilcox and Anna Willinger. Three doubles, Carly Foster and Natalie Hyde. Four doubles, Genevieve Davis and Gray Smith. Four singles, Sylvia Bivens. Runner-ups in their flights. One singles, Jahek Biartaria. And two singles, Ellie McCollum. And three singles, Taylor Bradley. All Panthers walked away with a medal. Next up for the team is regional tournament Wednesday at Sturgis, beginning at 9 o'clock. I'm just finding it hard to wrap my mind around. We've got regionals starting in tennis and in track this weekend. Crazy, absolute crazy how fast the last portion of the school year has gone. Baseball today. Columbia is at Michigan Center. That's at 4. Vandy at Grass Lake at 4. Jonesville at East Jackson at 4. Hanover Horton at Manchester at 4. And Lumen will play host to Lady of the Lakes at 4:30 in baseball. Softball today, you've got Columbia at center at 4. Jonesville at East Jackson at 4. Hanover Horton will be at Manchester at 4. Jackson plays host to Lincoln at 4 today. Lumen at the Catholic High School League semifinal, 5 o'clock today in that one. That's high school baseball, what's on tap for today. On to girls soccer, and we'll start off in the Big 8. From the weekend, Springport, in their tournament, they ended up falling to Potterville 3-2, and then they fell to Ida 2-1 in shootout fashion over the weekend. Today, in the Big 8, you got Bronson at Jackson Christian. That is set for 5:30. On to the Cascades. Nothing to report on from the weekend, but today in Cascades girls soccer, you've got Leslie at Columbia. Hanover Horton is at Grass Lake. Napoleon at Jonesville. And Manchester is at Michigan Center. So standings right now in the Cascades for girls soccer. You've got Manchester, 7-win conference play, 7 wins, 0 losses, 3 ties. Grass Lake, 8-1-3. Columbia, 7-3-1. And Michigan Center, 6-3-2. So Manchester, Michigan Center, you've got those four teams kind of jumbled up there, all in the Cascades in the top four. So that is a pretty pivotal game in the Cascades, with just really a handful of you're looking at what, 3 games left in the regular season before districts start up on the 20th? Yeah, so a pretty important contest tonight in the Cascades. On to Interstate 8 girls soccer. And today in the 8, you've got Northwest at Chelsea. That's at 5:30. Vicksburg at Marshall, Coldwater at Western, that contest set for 6 o'clock, and Hastings at Sturgis, that one's at 6:30. In the White, SEC White, already talked about Northwest at Chelsea. Jackson will be at Pinckney at 5:30 today. Ipsy will be at Tecumseh, Ipsy Lincoln, that is, and Adrian will be at Ipsy Community. And boys golf on the docket for today. Cascades will be at Homer. That's at 1 o'clock. Jackson Christian at Climax Scott's at 4:30. Lumen in the Catholic High School League final, that'll be at 1:30. Take a quick look at track from the weekend and the East Jackson Dome Classic from Friday. That was won by Jonesville on the men's side, putting up 145 points. Whitmore Lake took the drive down, and they down 94, and they got the win. 118.17 to win that one. See, Grass Lake took second. Napoleon took third in the Dome Classic from Friday. On to, let's stick with girls, boys and girls track of the high school variety, the Jonathan Nugent Invitational from the weekend at Hanover Horton. And Hanover Horton ended up winning that 106. Coming in first there. Chestnut coming in second at 105 and Ovid Elsie at 101. On the women's side of things, it was Fowler at 145, Chestnut and Portland St. Patrick 1, 2, and 3 there. Hanover Horton finished 6th. I say that was hosted, but no, that was in Bath. That was a little drive north. And that's a quick look at your sports. This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM Sports, courtesy of Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center. Weather coming up.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
At 7:32, 28 minutes now in front of 8 o'clock, we'll get to ABC News headlines here in just a little bit, courtesy of Jenkins Insurance Group, Farm Bureau Insurance Agency, insurance coverage for your home, auto, or your farm. But for now, let's head to our newsmaker line. We welcome back to the program State Senator Sue Shanks. Senator, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we appreciate you joining us here today. I didn't realize that you're going to be out of state on family stuff and still decided to join us this morning. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. The first The first of the cousins got married this weekend, so.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, it's
exciting times.
That is exciting. And, you know, you get to see family that I'm sure you haven't seen in a while, so it was kind of, I'm sure it was a good time.
It was great, and I will just say this one thing. My mom is 89. She danced all night. It was awesome.
Oh, that's good. That's good. All right. Well, good. So, back in session this week, we can talk about a little bit, and I know, again, I feel like I need to put the disclaimer out there for our listening audience. You don't have the agenda, and usually the agenda doesn't happen until, like, what, late Tuesday or early Wednesday for what's going to be happening in the Senate this week. But what do you anticipate? What do you feel like should be or could be coming up this week in the Senate?
Yeah, so there are definitely going to be hearings. And we've been trying to hear septic bills. I'm not sure that they're going to be heard, but there's a statewide septic code proposed. It would require more inspections, really. And the reason is that a lot of small lakes, especially, are being polluted by leaking septic. So that is one that may be heard later on in the week. Okay. I know that we're going to be, so this is in Natural Resources and Ag, and then there's another one about possibly making the turkey the state game animal. There seems to be a fair bit of support and not any opposition at this point, but if anyone has feelings about that, let me know. And then there's one coming up. I don't know if it'll be heard this week or not, but it is definitely a big, big deal, and so I think it's worth telling people about that, and that is one. A package that would change the way zoning works.
When you say zoning, what I mean, package that changed the way zoning works as far as like, go ahead.
Right now, yeah, and it's complicated.
Uh-huh.
Right now, local governments, and which are made up of the people who live in the communities, basically decide their zoning, right? So you might be driving into a community and see a sign that says zoned community.
Gotcha.
That's a warning to people that there are rules about what you put where. Now, changes in zoning happen, and there are usually warning, lead time. If a community doesn't like what the zoning proposal is, they can advocate to their local government. Sometimes the local government goes along with the person who wanted the rezoning. Sometimes the local government goes along with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are laws about how that happens. And so these laws would change that and would reduce the power of local governments and would also reduce the power of the people within the communities if they don't like a zoning change to advocate for it not to happen.
Gotcha.
Or for it to be different.
Okay.
And so In my district, District 14, that's huge because there's so many townships, but cities too. It's just that cities tend to already be more dense and have more of their land built up.
Is the intent then to bring a little bit of consistency across the board?
It would, but it would. I will say this before we go. I can go into the details, but almost every single township government has reached out to me and said, please, please don't do this. We need you not to do this. We're okay with some changes in the law to how we address zoning, but this is going too far. So
gotcha.
It would basically create 15, wherever there's public water and sewer, automatic 15-foot setback only. So like if there's a neighborhood that has, say, 50-foot setbacks and then there's an open lot, a person could put a house 15 feet from the sidewalk. There's some issues with that, right? Because, and this is just the beginning. It's not the whole thing. But just because having those front yards be about the same size creates a feeling of stability, but also then somebody's backyard could be in someone else, start to be in someone else's front yard. And you see that in some older communities. But a mobile home could be placed in any neighborhood that has public water and sewer. I think that could be an issue. Also, they don't have, what makes a mobile home is it doesn't have a foundation. So I think I have safety issues with that. If we're looking at that as long-term housing, we've all seen the pictures of what happens to mobile homes when there's a tornado, and we have lots of tornadoes in Michigan. There are some prohibits a minimum parcel size greater than 1,500 square feet that can be required. It prohibits a house size from being less than 500 feet, or no, more, sorry, that a community can't require a house more than 500 feet, square feet. And that's not to say that you can't build a bigger house, but you don't have to. And then the other thing is that if there is a rezoning proposal, a community only has 60 days to make their decision on it. And that is, for most local governments, probably not doable, because they only maybe meet once a month, the Planning Commission, and they're essentially volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would make it very hard. Also, if a community wanted to protest the zoning, instead of having 20% of the residents sign on to a petition, now it has to be 60% of the residents who would be within 300 feet of the zoning. So
wow.
I won't say that everything in this package is horrible, but having been a township trustee and having actually lived through a number of these situations, I think that it is, I don't know how much housing it's really going to create. What I am sure of is that, because it doesn't address financing, it doesn't address the whole package of things that have to happen to make housing happen. It doesn't affect labor supply, which I know is in short supply.
Right.
But what it does do is it takes government that is closest to the people away from the people. And I think that Michigan has a very long history of local governments making those decisions, of people deciding amongst themselves how their communities are going to look. And I think people are going to be pretty upset about this. So
yeah.
I've been talking with my local governments about it. They're very upset.
Well, yeah, the basis of our government is to allow individual areas to kind of plan and develop how it best suits them. You know, when I say, is this going to bring consistency, like you just kind of elaborated on, it's going to take the decision-making away from our local leaders if this does come to fruition. Does it feel like it has a snowball's chance, or is it, do you think it'll be DOA?
Well, it's getting a hearing, and so that means it does. And it's also, it came from the House bipartisan. And, you know, there is a housing shortage in Michigan. Mm. Although our population has not grown in 40 years, there is a housing shortage. My belief is that housing shortage is because we have, as a state, I'm not saying any person in particular, allowed houses just to, you know, go to pieces, essentially, and then get torn down.
Yeah.
I went up to Saginaw to campaign with our newest state senator, Cedric Green, who's coming soon. He won in Saginaw, and there are blocks with two or three houses on you know, one side of the road when there should have been 10. And you know, that is because of long-term disinvestment in our cities. We see some of it in Jackson, where we have a lot of open lots waiting for the 100 Homes Project.
Hmm.
We have tools, and a lot of communities are adding homes. I think that we have some other things to address, too, which would be the labor shortage for an individually built home, and then, of course, financing. And then Airbnbs, you don't notice how many there are, but I know in Ann Arbor, it's shocking the number of Airbnbs that are just out in the neighborhoods where they look like a normal house, but they're really a mini hotel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Senator Sue Schenck joining us here this morning on AM Jackson, on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Voter rights, you got a town hall coming up this week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's in Dexter,
mm-hmm.
but if people are interested, they are very, very welcome. It is this Thursday from 7 to 8 at the Dexter District Library, which is at 3255 Alpine Street in Dexter. So again, that's a voter rights town hall with me, and then we're going to have the Washtenaw County Clerk and probably Agogo Adavie, the Deputy Director of the Secretary of State's office, with us at Dexter District Library, which is in Dexter from 7 to 8 on Thursday.
Okay. What are we anticipating to be covered during this town hall with in concern to voter rights?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, so when I was elected to the Senate, the voters passed a constitutional amendment that changed how, it didn't really change how we vote in the sense of like walking in and voting at the, you know, at your township or city hall, but it did expand. We now have an early voting period, same day registration, and and more mail-in voting. So before you used to have an excuse, now you can just say, hey, I would like to vote by mail. So they'll talk about that. Okay. And then also, you know, there's the clerks, again, local government, the clerks in Michigan are awesome. And they'll talk about the relationship between the Secretary of State and the local clerks and the training they give to the clerks. So the takeaway, because we had a pre-conversation is, and I held one of these a couple years ago in Jackson, which was amazingly well attended. And that Michigan voters can rest assured that voting is secure in Michigan, but yet people still have questions. So I think, you know, if you have any questions about voting, come on out and hear what they have to say. Any question is fine.
Okay. All right. And finally, we're kind of in that budget situation right now where it's almost like we kind of have to, you know, Senate's got their part done, House has their part done, Governor put her proposed budget out, so now it's kind of like a sit and wait and kind of let the leaders figure it out, right?
Well, yeah, so we didn't have, we, it's called no vote, no attendance, so officially there was session last week, but they didn't take attendance, we didn't go sit in the big room together. But we had committee meetings, and people are looking at the numbers, comparing them, getting ready for the negotiations. And the next step that I guess kind of the public sees is will be us going into, well, hopefully, the negotiating room with our subcommittee budgets, and then coming out with a number that goes into a bill that that we all vote on and we all agree on. So basically, in a way, we have to come to consensus. There will be people voting no, but we can't have a budget until a majority of senators and House members vote yes. Right. And we know that we've got a Democratic Senate and a Republican House, so we're going to have to come to an agreement on what those numbers are.
Okay. You referenced the gentleman out of Saginaw getting the win, and now there's more of a majority, slim, but still more of a majority in the Senate now. Do you feel like this is going to impact much things moving forward? Do you feel like it's going to stay pretty much about the same? Or how do you think it's going to help with what the Senate has for their goals and what they want to accomplish the rest of the year, having that slim majority now?
Yeah, I think that we had a slim majority before. I think the biggest impact is that if somebody gets sick, they can actually stay home instead of having to come to work with a mask and just feel like garbage. But it'll be nice. I know that the residents of the 35th district, they wanted their own legislator, even though you know, their constituent services were ongoing. People want their legislator, and so that's good that we finally have him. And I think he's going to bring a lot of insights. His community is a community that is narrowly Republican, although he won by narrowly Democratic, although he won by a good margin. There are a lot of Republicans there, and they have needs too. And so I think that perspective will be a good one. And he has agriculture and some really poor areas, but also some really prosperous areas. And I think, and, you know, everybody brings their community's experience with them to Lansing, and it changes what we do a bit. So I'm not really sure. I know that he is focused on bringing down costs for Michiganders, which is something that I am also focused on. So I'm really excited to have him there. But in terms of, like, our, you know, we don't have a trifecta, and we still have to get things through the house. So right. I think that that's still going to be a big issue for us.
At least in the Senate side of things, a little less dependent now on Garland Gilchrist being available for a tiebreaker if needed.
Yes, but he's never done a tiebreaker.
Never. No.
Never. Well, not for us. No. Which is
right.
fine.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, seriously, we could not be sick. And, of course, people do get sick. So I think that it'll take a little bit of that anxiety away if somebody has a family issue or something like that, that they may be actually able to take the day to take care of their family.
Well, Senator, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
I was going to say, that's for us, that's really nice.
Senator Su Xing joining us here on AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM. Anything left untouched that you feel would be important for us to cover here today, Senator?
Well, nothing that we can't cover next week.
So all right.
It was great to talk to you, and I am excited to be back in Michigan this afternoon.
Well, enjoy your travels back. Okay, Senator? We'll talk with you soon.
All right, thanks. Have a great day, everyone.
Senator Su Xing joining us here on AM Jackson. And you're listening to News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
And it's a pleasure to have in the studio with us today Andrew Mason from American One Credit Union. How you doing? Good to see you here.
Good, Mark. How are you?
I'm feeling really lucky to have you here because the way you've been doing the news breaks and the forecasts and all you've got the whole news set up now at American One. I'm surprised one of those Lansing stations haven't snatched you up, man.
Matt Prochazny, you listen. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, I've been getting some stuff for it.
I'm sure you have.
It's a doppelganger effect. It's Jekyll and Hyde, man. It's Andy and Andrew. It's very strange. If you haven't seen it, check us out on Facebook. But we needed to spice up the social games, and sure enough, the news reporter
it's
came
everywhere.
Out.
It's everywhere. Yeah. I'm like, hey, hon, I know that guy. I know that guy. All right. Before we get into the car sale, I'm not going to call it a car show during this conversation, I promise you. Before we get into the car sale, I want to say it was about 6:25, right outside the window over here my shoulder. There was a Tom making all sorts of noises looking for an early morning date. And I know you hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I know you hunt. Have you gotten lucky yet?
I did.
There's
so much irony to turkey hunting because essentially what you're doing is you're trying to fool a bird with a pea-sized brain. And, you know, the human brain is developed. It's very complex. And you'd not believe the amount of times I've gotten stumped by a pea bird brain. But if you can sound like him and if you can hide yourself well enough and have the right decoy set up, you'll usually get pretty lucky.
Well, I keep telling Tom, it just feels like they get super smart this time of year because they're everywhere. They'll circle this building like it's the zombie apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
They're everywhere. Soon as turkey hunting season starts, they get a lot harder to find.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they
scramble.
They do.
Here, I'll show you a good turkey call. So this is the hen imitation. And essentially, when hens are on their own, they're looking to get paired up with something. So they go, I can't gobble. I tried to, but sometimes that works. I try to use a diaphragm call, but you're aiming to break a Tom's heart and get some turkey tenders frying up for you.
So translation, when he does that, translation is, I'm a girl turkey, is what it is.
Bilingual, are you?
I am. I'm a girl turkey. All right. So the car sale's coming. Yeah, is that this weekend, this week?
It's coming up. Starts Thursday, runs through Saturday. You know the goods. We got 300 new and used vehicles on the lot, 4 trusted dealers, and we're also bringing out a trusted power sports dealer, Max out of TC Power Sports, and Cement City will be there too.
Okay. Oh, wow. All right.
Yep.
So that's great because you have it all. Right there in one spot, you know, and we find that the consumers looking for a vehicle that's new to them, they're already pretty well versed, but they get to the lot, they get looking around, they're like, hey, I don't know, I like this one too, right?
Yep.
You see it.
And if you want to do some pre-shopping, American One has just adopted a new auto buying platform called Ride Finder. We're going to feature those dealers on our website so you can see their inventory before you hit the lot. But there's always going to be some surprises out there. I mean, I've always had my eye on Huff's lime green Mustang, and I have to stay away from Huff because they're going to try to sell me on it, and I'm easily convincible. So,
Blair's ears just perked up on that one. I know they did.
Blair and Shannon, if you're listening, please just leave me alone at the sale. You know where I'm going to go.
Yeah, you're going to go to the American One Credit Union, get yourself pre-approved.
You're darn right. And the best way to get pre-approved, all you got to do is go on our website. It takes 5 minutes, or you can stop into a branch. Our branch staff is super knowledgeable, and they'll help you out with the whole process.
So you got Huff there. Who else you have there?
We have J&J,
okay.
Avenue Auto, Seymour Ford, and then TC.
Okay.
Yep.
So great, great variety to choose from. All in one spot at the American One Event Center.
Yep.
Okay. And what should... You mentioned the new app that American One has. Mm-hmm. Is that where our listeners should go? Can they get pre-approved through that also?
So that's on the same website, AmericanOneCU.org. But in the top right corner, you'll see a little tab called Ride Finder. And there you can browse numerous cars, not just the dealers at the sale, but dealers all across the state to find your next set of dream wheels.
Right. I mean, because, you know, some people might have a Corvette taste.
Yep.
But they might not be able to get into that. It might be a different type of little coupe that
true.
They can get into. So you got to be kind of like in the right line, you know, to know what you're shopping for.
Right, right. And like I said, great selection. I mean, we're thinking here further ahead. Summer's coming up. Uh-huh. There's going to be Harleys on the lot if we have any bikers out there. I've seen some really nice sports cars that are, even if you just need a daily driver, it's going to be out there for you.
Okay. So a lime green Mustang.
Yeah.
With as much of an outdoors person as you are, I'm sure. You sure it's not going to be like a lime green F-150?
I'll tell you, I'm driving one right now. I love it. But if I ever had the money one day, I would definitely like a project car, put a supercharger in it, and probably annoy my neighbors a little bit. But.
And no bones about it. You're going to annoy them.
Yeah. Okay. exhaust pops and all that. All
right, so it starts Thursday.
Yep.
And it runs through the weekend, right?
Yep. Till Saturday. We kick off on Thursday at 11. It runs till 8, as well as that Friday, and then 10 to 3 on the Saturday.
Okay.
Yep. Local food trucks will be there each day. Starting out on Thursday, we have Triple E's Eatery, followed by the Great American Food Truck. And close it out on Saturday, we'll have Little Caesar's food truck out there.
So even if people haven't gone online to get pre-approved or figure out where they land, you'll take care of that for them at the American One Event Center during the event, right?
Absolutely.
They can just walk on up.
Yep, they can come on, visit our MSS, member service specialist. Super knowledgeable. Again, all of our employees at American One are the community's financial experts. They will walk you through it. And our biggest goal is we want to put you in a car that you love, but we also want to put you in a car that's not going to hurt you financially. So making the deal work out for the member is super important
for us. Everybody needs transportation. You can always tell when this sale is going on, too, because the lots, they all look at. There's still a car here or there,
yeah.
But I mean, they're all, because the inventory is all at one spot.
And it's a beautiful thing because, you know, it's spring now and the birds migrate to their nesting grounds. And I always say, well, the autos have migrated to their nesting grounds for the spring. And it's this
like
big
that.
Natural phenomenon. It only happens at the American One car sale at Keeley Park.
I like it. So this is the spring one. You do a few of these a year.
Yep. We're going to rock one in the summer.
Okay.
Thinking about doing one in the fall again. We're gonna see how successfully turn out, but
okay.
We're planning on three for certain this coming year.
All right, I'm looking forward to it. But this one starts Thursday, runs through Saturday at the American One Event Center. Everybody knows it as the fairgrounds, but it's the American One Event Center.
Right on.
All
yep.
right. There's other events coming up throughout the year too. What's the biggie happening?
So American One likes to do one big annual community event every year. And we were thinking, how can we draw the crowds while benefiting the community of Jackson? And we had this huge brainstorming session at the American One offices, and we came up with the idea that we're going to have a community financial wellness fair, in a way.
Okay.
What we're going to do is we've partnered with a lot of local vendors in Jackson, businesses. They're going to come out, and we're going to have a simulated financial game of life. Each vendor is going to have a price, whether it's your housing, your utilities, your leisure, however the average person spends their money, and you're going to go to each station when you attend this event, and you're going to see how you fare. If you need help, the American One Credit Union station is going to be there to assist you and put you on the right track. And once you come out ahead of the game, you have won the game of life, and you've had a great time at the American One Community Fair.
Do I get little pink or little baby blue pegs to put in my car?
Probably.
Probably. If
we can make
playing
that
the
happen.
Game of life, you
yeah.
know. Okay.
We can make it happen.
Am I going to have a little spinner that always stops on 7?
We are getting giant dice, so we can roll them there.
Oh, man. So when's that again?
That'll be June 25th from 6 to 8 at our event center.
At the American One Event Center. Of course. I mean, you got the beautiful facility there.
Yep.
Tom
Brand.
Got to use it.
Absolutely.
All right. So we're in year 76. Last year was the 75th anniversary, right?
Correct.
Okay, yep. So we don't have parties going on at every branch this year.
Not this year.
That was a task, right?
It was a lot of planning, coordination with the branch managers and staff, food vendors that we had out, but it was a huge 75th year for us.
How many branches did you visit last year?
Oh, we hit all, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we have 16 branches. I think we for sure hit all of them.
Right.
And it sure felt like it. Man.
A little bit of travel.
Yeah, as far as Hillsdale and Milan and as close as North Street, but we made it happen, yeah. And we're happy to celebrate that milestone event.
Now, Andrew Mason in the studio with us here today from American One Credit Union. Do you have new offices in the new headquarters, or are you not there?
We're not there yet. So we are actually going to transition. Currently, we're in the Resource Center across the street from Denton's, but our team is going to transition to the home office just north of us and get some new ground there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know there's offices that are there now, right?
At Cooper?
Yeah.
Yep, it's up and running.
Okay.
It's a beautiful building. They did a great job. We partnered with Mercer on it, and it's a beautiful building.
It is. Yep. You drive by, and it's so nice. It's a great location, too.
Yep.
Right, historic prison right there.
Yeah.
So it's cool. All right, very cool. Have you had a chance to get out fishing yet this spring?
I did.
Yeah?
Not so much rod and reel, but I went hand lining on the Detroit River last Wednesday.
Okay.
And, very primitive method of fishing, but very, you feel everything. I mean, rods pick up a lot of feel and touch, but when you're using a steel cable and your hands, you feel every hit, every rock. The crazy story about that was, so we were targeting walleye, of course, but the buddy I was with, shout out Chris, he hooked into a muskie. Outside of Trenton Channel by Fighting Island.
Oh, wow.
And we had it probably 5 feet from the boat, and he decided to spit, and he gave us this big tail splash and soaked us to send a goodbye to us.
But oh, man.
I was shaking, Mark. I'm not kidding you. I'm talking about it. You can see that
it's
coming back.
Well, how'd you guys do on the walleye then?
Good. We hit a limit.
Okay.
We flew by night, and the traffic out there was very minimal, smooth waters, and we had a good meat haul.
Oh, well, very good, man. I'm happy for you guys. Because I know that's wildly popular this time of year is the walleye fishing on.
And now the white bass are moving in the system, so it's kind of tailing out. But if you're running crawler harnesses, people are doing just fine.
Right.
But I wanted to ask you, how's the bite in your neck of the woods?
Okay, so I haven't been out just yet. I went out on my dock, and there was like 5 bass that kind of just, and we're not in bass season just yet.
Mm.
So no, I haven't been out doing any spring fishing as of yet, but it's coming soon.
Cool.
It's coming. I've already been to Knutson's, got my lines all set, ready to roll. Crappies are definitely up in the shallows right now. I've seen them too. And, bluegills, that's what, usually around Father's Day-ish is when those are on the beds. But
let me ask you.
Sure.
Go-to bass lure.
Oh, Yamamoto's.
There you go.
Yamamoto's.
Man of class we have.
Right.
I love it.
But I have been talking with the guy from Angling AI. And I am getting in an area kind of set up in the garage where I'm going to start making my own.
Nice.
You know, so those are, we'll see.
Is there a certain color?
I like white, bubble gum, and there's this 5-inch one that I really like that's got a bright green tip on its tail. But it's kind of like an olive darker green with little flecks in it.
Okay.
That one. Get some monsters on that one.
I got you.
You'll get some big ones on that one.
Take
but this
notes.
Time of year, I like to stick with the 4-inch because not only will the bass hit that because they're hitting everything. Once the bass season opens up, they're hitting everything.
Mm.
But you'll get some crappies that'll hit that
all
too.
Right.
Yeah. So,
Mark,
yeah.
I'm taking notes down here.
Yeah, I should be taking notes from you. Are you kidding me? So, all right. Anything else, Andrew, that we should be hitting on here today?
Well, you know, for the folks that are listening, Mark is an exceptional MC, and I just wanted to see if you can make this public. What approach do you take when you take a big crowd? What goes through your mind? Walk me through your process. But don't give away your secrets, but if there's something that somebody who may be in the public speaking field could pick up on, give us the juice.
I generally am aware of my notes. There's going to be some stuff that I'll read, like the award stuff, I'll read that word to word, the stuff that they want me to say. But as far as how I want to address the crowd, how I want to work the crowd, I just usually kind of go off of my bullet points and just let it flow.
I got you.
Yeah.
Improv
and then,
master.
And then you just got to know the crowd.
Yeah.
Know the crowd and pick out a couple people here that you can make a little bit, a joke. Not a roast, but a joke here or two about,
Yeah, walk the line.
What was the last one you were at that I emceed?
It was the Irish Hills.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Yeah.
Man.
See, I knew Matt Schwartzlander, so he was the butt of a couple jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good sport.
He is a good sport. He's a really good sport. That was a fun, beautiful facility out there,
man.
Too.
The thunderstorms, though. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
The generators were making it flick.
I was like, well, they were running the whole thing off of generators.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
Torrential downpour.
They did not have power.
Man. But
that was a fun night.
Beautiful
that was
event.
A fun night.
Yeah.
So, all right. All right. So, again, let's wrap up where we started. We've got the car show.
Yep.
Car sale. I did it.
You're all right.
I promised you I wasn't going to do it, and I just screwed it up. So the car sale runs this week.
Yep. May 14th to the 16th. Great local dealers, great financing, and a great way to get your summer wheels.
All right. Very good. Andrew Mason, man of a video stardom right now with the American One social media. So all over the place. Don't get plucked by Lansing. We like you.
I won't. Okay? I'm a Jacksonian true and true.
All right. Very good. Good seeing you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Mark.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM. Let's check in with ABC.
You're listening to the AM Jackson podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
9:35, 25 minutes now in front of 10 o'clock. And it's a pleasure. It feels like it's been too long. It's been too long.
It's been a while.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good, yeah.
Jacob Tuttle Concrete back in the studio with us. I know we were talking a little bit off the air. It's a good thing you've been too busy to follow the Tigers.
You know.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because the Tigers are, rough. It's rough, Jacob. It's rough.
I do know that much. I know that it's been rough. I know. Yeah. I mean, I keep up on it just because I follow baseball enough, you know, and but the thing is they're, you know, you come into this season, you go out and get Valdez, you go out and get Verlander.
Expectations were high.
You know, and obviously I didn't have huge expectations for Verlander. He's just getting up there in age. Oh, you know,
he's ending where he started.
But, you know, that's really cool for the city. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
And, but, yeah, I mean, off to a slow start for sure, but we've seen that before, so hopefully they get it figured out and bounce back.
AL Central is so tight, just as long as they hang, and when they slowly get healthy, as it can't get worse, right? As long as they get healthy, we'll see.
So, you know, they've got a lot of good young talent.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they made the run, you know, they've made runs in the past, you know, where they've started off slow and then came on later in the season, and you know, or started off strong, went into a slump, but then came back strong. So, you know, I think it's still early, but so far,
it's been rough.
It's been rough.
It's been rough. All right. Jacob Tuttle Concrete in the studio. That's solid. I like that. Take there. Yeah. All right. All right, Jacob, how are things with Tuttle Concrete? Guys staying busy?
Yeah. It's going well. Mm-hmm. We are extremely busy. We have quite a few more builders, you know, asking us questions, wanting to get things done. Some things have changed for Tuttle Concrete this season prior to last few seasons. In the past, we weren't doing much with foundations, excavation work, all that kind of thing. We've got to a point now where we can offer excavation as far as grading, digging basements, doing all of that kind of thing. We can pour foundations, including footings, poured walls. We can do block walls for you. We can get superior walls, which is another cool thing. And we can pour all of your flat work just like we have been doing for the past few years.
So when you and I first started talking and started working together, it was a lot of patio, sidewalks, driveways.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like then, and it kind of slowly happened, because you're a smart business guy. You kind of built it slowly, you know, slow and steady wins the race.
Exactly.
And it just sounds like you're doing much larger projects now.
We are. And we still want to take care of the little guy. So we are still trying to
there's a place for all those other types of projects that we talked about. But,
there is, right. You know, we're still trying to that's the problem, you know. You get in, you have your crew, you have your equipment, you have all the stuff, by the time you get all the stuff out there, you know, a small project can still take 1 or 2 days, mm-hmm. and a larger driveway for us can take 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where we still will cater to those small jobs.
Right.
But the small jobs, you know, definitely aren't as good a value for people. But we are doing our best to make sure they turn out right and get people the best prices
sure.
possible. So yeah. we still really like to do all the small jobs. But yes, we are jumping into doing a lot bigger jobs now. Mm-hmm. Whether that's a entire foundation and all the flat work, we've had more builders reaching out to us. Now that they're kind of learning that we have those capabilities.
Yeah.
A lot of builders just aren't really aware that we're even offering that yet. So mm-hmm. we're trying to get the word out there on that. So if you're a builder, you need you're building a new house, we can help you mm-hmm. from the ground up and take care of all your flat work and everything when it comes to that. So so we're doing a lot more with that. Commercial work. You know, we have capabilities of doing commercial work, whether that's, you know, new curbs for a parking lot or a parking lot. You know, we can do that. We can do foundations for commercial buildings,
mm-hmm.
you know, 3, 4, 5 story commercial buildings, whatever you need. So we have the capabilities and the tools and the resources to be able to go out and
gotcha.
Make just about anything that's concrete related. Or even retaining wall related things like that.
Okay.
So Tuttle Concrete has kind of become one of those one stop shop for builders right. now in
okay.
that aspect too.
So pretty much anything that involves yep. concrete.
Yes.
You got
yep.
it.
Yep.
You got it. Right. And for those who are looking for the projects, because the first question is, hey, how much is this going to cost me? You've got a great tool online
we do.
To help them with
yes.
that.
Yes, yep. We've got an instant estimate tool online.
Okay.
We actually are in development with the software company that offers that for us in creating a even better version right now.
Okay.
Right now, you can go on there and you can answer all the questions. It's really awesome tool. It's really easy. You just have to know the basic dimensions of the project you want to do.
Okay.
You put everything in, you answer the questions, it gives you a price range.
Okay.
And typically that price range, you know, people will say yes, or we'll call them back and say, hey, what'd you think? Okay, yeah, I want to do it. And mm-hmm. we'll come out and we'll look at the job and we'll get you a more accurate quote. And then for some people, they're just kind of shopping around like, hey, I want a new driveway. I have no clue if it's going to cost me $5,000 or $15,000.
For sure.
You know, so yeah. then they can go on there and then, okay, this is going to cost $10,000 to $12,000. I'm going to save for a year and then I'll get back with them, you know. So it's a really great tool both ways.
Yeah. Well, it's people need a target.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. And you know what? You don't have to waste your time calling a bunch of concrete companies trying to get people to come out.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty good about getting out within a week or so to look at jobs when people schedule with
sure.
us and getting them estimates within a week usually. So we have been super busy, but we still stay within that. And one thing I get told is there's a lot of people there. Well, I've called 6 companies and only 2 answered or got back with me. And yeah. you're the only one that actually showed up
right.
to look at this, you know, so.
And a lot of times the decision's made right then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's who they're going to use. Yeah.
Right. Yep. And so I think that customer service yeah. and professionalism exemplifies our company as a whole.
Right.
So people see that and then they see the work that we do and the care that we have, you know.
Sure.
If there's ever been an issue with someone's project, I will work with them to get back and to take care of things. And because stuff happens
mm-hmm.
and sometimes things happen that aren't even our fault. A lot of times people will say, hey, what's going on with this? You know, and there's things that we can't control in the concrete industry. Concrete cracks, mm-hmm. you know, there's been some surface issues with the switch from type 1 cement to type 1L cement.
Okay. Now which, I don't know.
So basically, to simplify it, because I could talk about it for
I'm sure you could. It feels like, though, I'll have more cracks in my asphalt driveway than what I'll get in
snow. Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll, you know, asphalt's cheaper up front.
Uh-huh.
And then it's just a maintenance nightmare for the rest of its life.
Mm-hmm.
So, but type one cement, just a, you know, a quick synopsis of what it is. We used to, cement companies used to be able to put 5% limestone powder in with the cement.
Okay.
Basically a filler, it's cheaper.
All right.
The maximum was 5%.
Mm.
Well, about 4 years ago, roughly, the government said that the concrete industry as a whole is making too much pollution to make cement. It's really quite interesting. If you go on YouTube, look it up. To make cement, they have to heat up a big drum, spin rock, basically. They get it real hot,
uh-huh.
and they're burning coal and different things to try to do this, and so it does create pollution. And so now they're trying to... They upped it from 5% limestone powder allowable to 15%.
Okay.
So the government's pushing, you know.
How did that affect the integrity of the
country? Well, you're adding a filler that's not as good.
Okay.
And this is nationwide, by the way.
Okay.
Every single concrete company is facing this problem. So.
So you have to make it with that much?
Yes.
Okay.
So the cement comes.
So how do you fix it so it doesn't get...
Well, they're realizing that we've had some issues, and now they're, you know, they were up as high as 12% in the concrete, or in the cement. Now they're getting back down to like 8%. We're putting different admixtures in to help, you know, with the problem. We're entertaining a little bit different finishing techniques and different things like that. Okay. So we're doing our part to make sure.
Gotcha.
So it's one of those things that's kind of industry-wide.
Gotcha. All right.
So
the other thing that we had talked about a little while back was the addition of Great Republic Building Company.
Yeah.
Remind our listeners what that is.
Yeah, so Great Republic Building Company is a full-service building company.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually started at the beginning of this season. Basically, what we offer is everything from a new deck to siding replacement to drywall work, a new roof, or we can build you a house from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cool things about that, you know, whether it's a stick-built house or a barn dominium or a pole barn, whatever you need done, with us owning Great Republic Building Company and Tuttle Concrete, we're able to literally build your house from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
So we control the concrete company and the excavation and everything all in-house.
Right.
So everything is overseen by myself, and we do hire subcontractors to get the jobs done. So I've got great HVAC companies.
Mm.
I've got great electricians. I've got great builders, and so we can go out. We can dig your basement, do all your grading, pour all your foundation work, do all your flat work, build your house for you, and you have one contact.
You're the point guy on all of it.
I'm the point guy on all of it. You deal with me through the whole thing. You only have to worry about paying one person, which gets kind of complicated when you're trying to do, you know. And so we want to simplify things for people, maybe save them a little bit of money, because we can work with the concrete company directly.
What's the advantage? Yeah, because I'll drive, you drive around, you'll see a new barn dominium going up there, you'll see a sign for a barn dominium here, and I drive by, I'm like, man, they just look so cool. What is it about barn dominiums that it just feels like they're hot right now?
Yeah, so barn dominiums can sometimes be a little bit less expensive per square foot.
Okay.
Just because of everything involved in building. If you're doing like a post-frame barn dominium, the shear strength is actually better than like a stick-built home.
Okay.
So they're going to stand up better to high winds and different things like that. And the space. People love the space. That's the big thing. So you have a barn dominium that you can build, you know, 18-foot walls. And you just have this giant open space that is just a clean slate to be able to build whatever you want inside.
Okay.
You can have your garage. You can we can build all your interior walls inside that space. We can do really cool things where you have your upper level overlooking your lower level and an open concept throughout. We can put garage doors on your that, you know, look out into your back patio that open up to create a integrated space between your house and your outdoor area. There's just a lot of things, and the looks of them are really nice.
They have
that rustic look to them, you know. So I think those are the advantages, and that's why a lot of people like barn dominiums. And
so it's flexibility. Not only do they look cool, but you got a lot of flexibility with what you want to do.
A lot of flexibility with what you want to do. You know, and when you're talking about building a house and a garage, that's where the biggest savings comes, because we're building something for you that is one structure that's going to end up being your house and your garage.
Right. Have you put one in yet that has the heating elements within the floor?
We've done a lot of in-floor heating through tunnel concrete.
Okay.
So we work with people to get their in-floor heating in. We don't typically install it ourselves anymore. We were doing it for a little bit, but we got so busy that...
Well, it's kind of a big deal when you're putting in a barn dominium. You're going to want... Because that's one of the features a lot of people want.
Yes. You know, you get a company in, a plumber or somebody like that, that can come in and get your in-floor heating installed, get your boiler installed that runs that whole system. We can, and then we'll come in, we'll pour it. We'll have a... we have the ability to... fix any lines. They're under pressure while we're pouring, you know, the whole system. So but yeah, in-floor heating is huge. I mean, that is very cost effective, and especially if your house is insulated properly. But it's very cost effective for the in-floor heating, because your floor is, you're not walking on a cold concrete floor, whether you have your floors polished or put, you know, laminate plank flooring down or whatever you're going to do. And then all that heat just radiates up to the second level even too. So it's a really great, efficient way to heat your structure.
For sure. All right. So Great Republic Building, Tuttle Concrete, kind of like all under the same umbrella.
Yep.
Different numbers for both though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we've got the number. So Tuttle Concrete can be reached at 517-769-9110, and Great Republic Building Company can be reached at 517-945-2915.
Simple Google search will get you to both websites too.
You know, Great Republic is not on Google yet. We're working through that. Google's kind of a pain when it comes to verifying companies.
Is it linked up with the Tuttle Concrete website?
It is not yet, but you can find Great Republic on Facebook.
That was the next one. I was going to bring it up. We're going to get there eventually.
Right. Yep. So we're working with Google right now. Being so new, we're working with them just to get everything online, get verified. There's a lot of people creating companies that are actually scam companies, so Google's had to crack down.
Sure.
So we're doing that. We have the phone number. You can find us on Facebook. That's a really good way to find us right now. Or if you call Tuttle Concrete, we can obviously take care of you as well.
All right. Kids baseball season going well?
Yeah, baseball season's going well. The Tuttle Concrete baseball team is off to a 2-0 start so
far. There we go. On Game Changer?
We are on Game Changer.
All right.
Yep. You'll have to find us on Game Changer.
We'll have to follow the 26th season.
Yep. So we are trying to, last week we played a couple games. We got through most of them. Okay. We've obviously had some weather.
It was nuts.
We had one that was shortened and one that had a delay in between. We played Northwest both games so far. So we're Jackson Southwest Little League's doing a cross connection with Northwest Little League. And so we play some games with them, some games with Chelsea as well.
Gotcha.
So played Northwest our first games, and it's been a blast.
What's the age group of the Tuttle Concrete team?
This year we're actually 12U.
Okay.
So we've got 11 and 12-year-olds mostly.
Not only are you the sponsor, but are you the coach again this year?
Yes, yep.
All right.
Yep, yep. Head coach, Rich Phillips is my assistant coach. Him and I have been coaching together for years.
Yeah. Well, and these are kids that you're staying with too, right? Because you're coaching.
Well, you know, the way Southwest Jackson, or Jackson Southwest Little League does it is we draft.
Oh, okay.
Because our goal is to make each team as fair as possible.
Ah, all right.
So... And that gets tough.
But you get your kids on your team.
I have my kids on my team. Yep. Yeah. I always have Coach Rich's kid on my team, Gabe. And so we've been together for a long time. And I try to get kids I've had in the past. I have a lot of parents and kids come up to me every season. Hey, I want, you know. And I love all the kids. And I always try to get them on the team. And the good thing is we have four coaches in majors. They're all great coaches. Uh-huh. They're all great guys. It's just great. It's fun for the kids.
You just got to bump up the NIL money.
Right,
you'll get whoever, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the way travel ball is going to be going at some point. It's getting crazy.
I get it. Oh man.
So, but it's been fun. We love to sponsor. We're actually sponsoring at the Western Youth Baseball program as well.
Cool.
And so we like to sponsor our local little leagues and different teams and golf outings and things that. And you know, I grew up in Jackson. I've lived here my whole life. I like to give back to our community.
How's the golf game going this year?
I have golfed probably a couple months ago indoors
in a
simulator.
Okay. But not outside yet.
I went with Chris Weston, my insurance agent at Barker Weber. And so he took us out. We went to Arbor Hills and we tried out their simulator.
Yeah.
Let's just say I need a lot of work. So
everybody this time of year needs a lot of work.
Couldn't shake the rug. The good thing is, though...
unless you're Bentley Coon, you need a lot of work this year.
Yeah.
Right.
Good thing is I don't have to chase my ball over to the next fairway when it's on a simulator.
You just
got to
pick up after it hit the wall.
Right. Yeah. So,
Jacob, as always, it's a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
today. Appreciate
thank you so much.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM. It's 956.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.